Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. This is episode number 245, dedicated to a man who on May 16th, 1985, was named the NBA Rookie of the Year, Mr. Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we will be joined by Miss Candace Cooper as we have part two of my conversation with Miss Cooper, as she is the first black female swimmer at North Carolina. Candace and I said it last week, I'll say it again, we always have fun. Today's conversation is zeroed in on her experience being a swimmer, a female swimmer at North Carolina. So many stories, so many phenomenal stories. We could have her on down the road to talk about what it's like, what her point of view, her experience has been being a black female in sports media, and she's in that space as well. The plan for next week is to continue Women in Sports Month and bring back on the podcast Miss Renee Washington, former All-American soccer player at Lehigh, currently in sports media. I want to get her perspective, hear about what her experience has been being a black female in sports media. But before we get to that point next week, let's go ahead right now and take a trip to North Carolina to enjoy part two of my conversation with Miss Candace Cooper as we continue Women in Sports Month here on the Jay Stevens Podcast. And joining us now, here on the Jay Stevens Podcast, it's Candace Cooper. She is back for part two of our conversation, continuing Women in Sports Month, as she is the first black female swimmer at the University of North Carolina. And today it's all about her college days. Miss Cooper, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate the part two.
Yeah, no problem. No problem at all. One thing I have noticed is that the college experience is different for athletes. It's one of those things that we see commercials and we hear about it from other people that maybe we're on the outside observing, maybe covering it from the media side. But it's completely different when you're wearing the shoes that you wore while at North Carolina being a student athlete. What was it like your first practice as a swimmer at the University of North Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. I think it was just a little more of the same of what you kind of deal with in high school. But of course, we start out because our season's not till the winter, so we have captains practices. So essentially, it's just the older student athletes get an opportunity to just get people's feet wet, literally, with how, you know, swimming and practices work. It's really just about skills and basics because it just kicks up like a whole couple notches once the quote unquote season fully begins. But other than that, you're just kind of doing the normal drills, like, hey, going to go through each stroke, and then as you know progress, you get into that specialty category.
Also, it wasn't really all that difficult for you at the beginning.
I think it's just in every first couple practices they ease you in, and then it gets full throttle. So like, no, everyone assumes like, oh, it's not going to be that bad, but it's always that fair warning, you know, objects may be closer than they appear. Like, practices will get harder as you progress. So definitely a nice wake up, but it certainly gets intense pretty quickly.
What was your welcome to college moment during swimming practice?
I think for us, it's punishment practice was probably my welcome to college, because mm-hmm. we had a couple people who were like, we called it drinking tickets. So like, if you got underage drinking ticket, then you would have a punishment practice. So I think having to pay for other people's mistakes was definitely my like, oh, the college is real and this is not a game moment. And I think just trying to make sets and intervals kind of like is similar to track, and not being able to make them and having that big old, hey, welcome to college, this is not as easy as you thought it was going to be. I mean, of course, at the end of the day, you survive, but you lived it became very quickly, you live to tell the story. So as long as you're still alive, like, you know, was it really that bad? You get perspective real quick.
Did you say it was called punishment practice? That sounds like torture.
Well, it's never like actually called punishment practice, but practice is significantly harder because some of my teammates messed up. So yes, I consider them punishment practices.
Oh, okay. So your teammates. Yeah. I'm trying to get some things that, like, were you ever somebody that
you got a drinking ticket? Yeah. Absolutely not. First of all, I'm Black. My mom did not play that. So let's start there. My biggest thing was when I went to school, like, one of the pieces of advice was don't have your name and nobody's, like, you know, school paper talking about the athletes, because they do that, right? They say, oh, three swimmers from last week got caught up in, you know, a sting or something like that's very real. So I was told very early and often, do not let that be your name. So no, that I can say that was never me.
Mom put the fear of God in you.
Literally.
I was listening to an interview on The Pivot. They had Warren Sapp on. It's Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, and Fred Taylor. And Warren Sapp said Tony Dungy gave him some advice. It was all the players on the team down in Tampa. He's like, there are a few things that'll keep you out of the USA Today. Driving over, that'll get you in the USA Today. Mm-hmm. Driving over 15 miles per hour over the speed limit. Being out after midnight. Drinking. He said women. And there was one more thing that was there. And he's like, Tony Dungy really was right, because with the times I was in the paper, I had a woman, I had some alcohol, I was acting a fool, I was out past midnight. And he's like, these are things that not that my coach told me, and he was right about it, but, like, those things, even in college, knowing you are a student athlete, people are going to look to you for certain things. You may be a leader. People want to follow you. They might want to tempt you with just about anything, especially when you're a freshman, because they know they got to try to have an initiation phase, a little hazing to kind of welcome you to the team. So not getting any of those drinking tickets, that's kind of, I would say, a badge of honor, because, I mean, you know, it's college, man. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also because most of the times when there was groups or in situations, a lot of people did not assume that I was with said group because I didn't look like anybody. So I've been plenty of times where I just walked away or was not, or just claimed that I didn't know these people. So I got lucky.
I would say you did. What were some of the nerves going through you during your first swimming meet in college?
I think for me, I've always been competitive, so it wasn't really necessarily nerves. It was more so like just putting on or having to represent something like was still like so much bigger than you. Like before, it was just high school, you're trying to get yourself to where you want to go. And sure, you're on a team and you have that. It's to where you're going up head to head and super competitive, and you're just trying to ultimately get your team points. So how well you perform really does help the success of your other teammates.
Yeah, I know, because I've only played team sports. Well, excuse me, it's not true. I threw shot put and discus for a couple years in high school, but I was not the best at it. And my mom and dad said, you're going to get a job junior year because you have a car and you're legal to drive, legal to work, so you're gonna do those things. So I didn't do that past it, plus I wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, I played team sports. And so I've always been maybe more wowed at the individual athletes that do individual sports, because it's just you, from Michael Phelps or to anybody on the track, being able to do that. I mean, Serena Williams, being able to do that thing by yourself in the spotlight, it's special and it's different because not many people can do it.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I think it just ultimately, it comes down to a lot of mental toughness, because you know it does rely solely on your performance in order to either help the team or do whatever. But I think that makes it more enjoyable too. Like, you just know all the work that you personally put in, and that's why you're reaping the benefits. And sometimes, you know, it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But it's a lot of good lessons in having to be an individual sport athlete.
Yeah, I'm always amazed, but that mental toughness you talked about, I know how last week we talked about your parents, your upbringing. You described them as really Black. And I do know how that side of parenthood, especially during that time period, they try to instill certain qualities, character traits inside of their children. But of course, they weren't always successful because, I mean, you're going to be influenced by your peers, strongly by your peers. But they try to instill some of those character traits that would hopefully last you a lifetime. And my guess is mental toughness was one of those things they tried to instill in you at an early age.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of just having that innate ability to want to push through things and be mentally tough, but also having them being really encouraging when it came to, you know, failure, success, whatever the like. It was just boiled down to, all right, if you're invested in something, you know, if you put all your all into it, it'll work out. And I think when you get out of sports, sometimes you learn the harder lessons of it, like life and sports are not necessarily parallel. So I think I've struggled more outside of, you know, the swimming world than I have in it, because in swimming, it was kind of like, all right, you beat the time, you get the medal. That's just, it's very black and white, but you know, it's clearly not how life operates. It's very gray.
How would you describe the student athlete experience?
Ooh, great question. You know, I think that overall it's very rewarding in the sense that you go into school with like already added friends. Like you don't have to necessarily like make effort to go to clubs or meetings. Like, you know who your group of people are. And that's why it's very important to have, you know, good connections when you're doing recruiting trips and all that, because these are the people that you're going to spend 90% of your time with. And I think overall, it just really forces you to be great at like the basic stuff, like time management, you know, boundaries, having any sort of balance in your life in terms of being sports. It teaches you commitment, right? Anything that you put most of your effort towards is going to come out in the wash. And so whether it's you want to have a good time in college and you just want to be a sport student half the time, like, okay, it'll show itself. Or if you want to be an athlete sort of the time, it'll show itself. So it really is, you get out what you put in, for sure. And I overall enjoyed it. And I think it could be one of the most rewarding experiences, because it does help you as you transition on to life after.
How do you respond when you hear people say the student athlete is not getting a good experience from the NCAA?
I would agree. I think when I was in school, I remember when I first graduated, it was like a year or two after, and can't remember the young man's name from UConn, but he complained about like not or being hungry and how he wanted snacks. And I was like,
oh the basketball player.
Yes. And yeah. I was like, oh, I can so relate to like just wanting extra snacks because you're starving and like something was closed or what have you. So I think just how the NCAA really doesn't understand what it all entails to be a student athlete. And I don't even like the term student athlete, because it's really just a job like everything else. It's kind of disappointing how much of a poor shake that a lot of athletes get, because you're asked of so much of you, and then you're just told like, be brave, buck it up, do whatever you got to do, and you don't get to reap much benefit from it. So it's a lot.
It is a lot. And I do remember when he talked about that, I think it was after they won the national championship, and me being someone that wasn't in that area, never got to be a student athlete, never got to play anything in college, I don't have any experience or really any knowledge outside of talking to people like you. My brother played football in college. He played at Butler University. So more FCS football, not the high level D1 that North Carolina is in those sports. And so his experience was one thing. Butler did not have scholarship for football at all. So he had to do some academic things to get some money to help cut off the hefty bill he was going to get from from going to school at Butler. And so I don't have those type of I don't really know. I hear stories. That's all I have. But for someone like you that's been able to live it, and I know you've seen the commercials. There was one commercial that had a kid waking up and then going to sleep. And I'm like, is this really like what life is like? To the average person watching TV, they may think, oh, student athlete, college athlete, this is what he goes through. But it's interesting hearing you say, man, it's not everything, or it's, we need things better, or it could be better than what we've had it, because NCAA is not making many strides, or excuse me, not quickly making strides to improve things in ways that many people say they can.
Yeah, I think it still boils down to people putting athletes in the lowest tier position of people who should benefit when they do the most for all that is, you know, college athletics. Like at the end of the day, it's not indentured servitude, because, you know, obviously there's far better experiences and opportunities, but at the end of the day, like, you just look at what's demanded of people between the ages of 18 to 22, and it's insane. Like the idea of having almost 9 to 10 practices now a week, on top of study hall, on top of, you know, having to go to class, on top of trying to have a social life, like, it's just, I mean, and then you try to do anything outside of, you know, your sport, it's damn near impossible. You can't have any other job, really. It's it's overwhelmingly embarrassing how the NCAA has kind of failed these athletes. And then there's nothing for, you know, your mental health. There's no dedicated mental health resources unless you go out of your way to research it for yourself. There's no transitional, you know, tools in place for people who don't go pro in their sports or do need, you know, jobs after. Like, there's, you know, certain scholarships you can apply for to get post grad or, you know, things like that. But there, no one tells you, like, hey, like, you definitely should, like, just check in with Career Fair. Like, yeah, you have academic advisors, but there's not really a formal NCAA system in place to be like, hey, your sport's ending. How are you going to fare once you're done? I think there's a lot of gaps. And even when you are in school, there's a lot of, you know, gaps and misinformation provided to you, or no information provided to you in terms of just how to, you know, be a successful adult, right? There's no financial literacy specifically to, you know, what an NIL could look like now, but even back then, like, okay, you can't get money, but are there other things that you can do in order to make sure that you're not in huge holes when you graduate? So there's a lot of attempts at progress, but NCAA is not doing great.
Why do you think they dropped the ball?
I mean, at the end of the day, I think, you know, I'm not going to say they don't care because that's not nice, but it's been working for so long that they're seeing some spottiness of success that it's almost as if why try, like, you know, there's just obviously the one-offs. There's people who are the small group that doesn't necessarily, you know, do much with their degrees, but there are so many who are successful. There are so many people who, you know, come out on top in spite of circumstances. So, you know, if those people are doing well, it's almost as if, okay, well, why couldn't you figure it out? Why couldn't you have the quote unquote mental toughness or the strength or the discipline or the time management to really benefit yourself life after sport or even as you're going through college? So because there's not so many, there's not an anomaly in terms of people not doing well, they're like, okay, well, status quo, everyone's doing just enough bare minimum and it's not required of them. Nobody's putting their feet to the fire and saying, hey, you need more resources for student athletes. It's a young man having to get on national television and say, I'm hungry, for them to be like, oh yeah, we're messing up. So it would take more from athlete advocacy, which they shouldn't have to do. It should be the adults really stepping in, but it would probably take more for them to have to speak up to say, hey, things are really terrible. Can you please try and do something besides these one-off situations?
You know, I've described this is more college football than swimming or just a total student athlete experience. But I remember talking to one of my friends who's a photographer, knows nothing about, like, knows about sports, but doesn't really care about it like you and I do. And I was just describing some of the things going on in college football. I think this was in 2020. And so we all know about that fiasco that whole year was. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to just describe certain things going on, and they were amazed about how crazy some of the things I was describing were to them.
Yeah. Because
they don't follow it. They have no desire to cover the sport, talk about the sport, go to games. They don't care about that at all. But they know that I'm going to talk about sports with them, and they're going to listen just because that's what they wanted to do. And so they were amazed that the college football side of it is as weird and as crazy as it is. And then if I were to describe the student athlete experience, they might be a little as shocked or maybe more shocked, because they might think, oh, you're a student athlete in college. You're getting, okay, yeah, school. You may get money for school. You might get X, Y, and Z, but there's a lot of things left out of what you're getting, and things don't make sense. I hope the NCAA gets better. I know that they're under fire right now for things going on with NIL, because, well, they've just dropped the ball because they dropped the ball for decades. It is finally catching up to them. But I hope they get better. I really do. I don't know if it's going to be a new organization coming in or if the NCAA is just going to get new leadership. I don't know what the solution is, but I hope things get better, because I do know there's going to be another black female swimmer like yourself that's going to go to college, maybe at North Carolina, that wants to have a phenomenal experience. And they don't want to get there and realize, man, maybe this is not all it's dished up to be.
Yeah, I would hope that that's the case. But I think that you're going to need new leadership, new eyes, people who genuinely care about student athletes first, then they care about the almighty dollar. And that's going to be hard to find. So until, you know, that people or the higher ups, powers that be, decide that they want to actually have change, implement said change, and see it all the way through. Like, it's one thing to acknowledge there's a problem. It's a whole other thing to acknowledge a problem and actually do things and put necessary steps in to change it. So they have a long way to go when it comes to actually implementing the things that they identified that's being difficult.
Candace, you mentioned something earlier, the three letters NIL, and when you were playing or swimming, NIL was not a thing. We all heard stories, but NIL was not legal back then. How do you think you would have capitalized on the ability to sign endorsement deals as a swimmer at North Carolina?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's all about how you market yourself and how you kind of put yourself out there. And I certainly would have tried to utilize the tools in terms of business plans or making sure that I could best market myself. I think being an anomaly is something that would have been on my side. And, you know, of course, you have natural hair brands that are big on how to, you know, hair maintenance. And that wasn't a thing back then. But if you were having it now, like, absolutely would have been a Carol's Daughter brand ambassador, or, you know, Miel Organic, something like that. And, you know, when it came to just suit sizes and everyone asking you, like, how do you wear suits, you know, for your figure, you know, having a whole swimsuit line or partnering with, you know, a swimsuit brand company, things like that. And there's just so many things you can go down the line of everything you think you can use, or, you know, a towel, goggles, friggin' food and type of things you eat. Like, there's just so many things that if you put yourself out there and just sell yourself and really market well, you could, you know, run the gambit.
I've heard numerous people say, I don't know if you've heard this as well, or even if you agree with it, but they say that they believe that women will be able to capitalize on NIL more than men. I don't know where you stand with that. I've heard people say that when NIL became legal July 1st of 2021. Do you think that statement is true?
Yeah, I think you see a lot of, like, gymnasts and, you know, female basketball players able to step out and put themselves out there. I think we all know marketing, sex sells, and, you know, people use their natural abilities to get whatever they need. And I'm not hating on anybody who can have an eyelash line or makeup or whatever you want, or how she gets her edges down during basketball games. Like, I think it's just all about how you know, market yourself and put yourself out there. There's money for the taking. It's just a matter of doing things that align with your beliefs and all the other fun stuff. But it certainly can be a great space for women, for sure.
I agree with that. Who are, or what areas would you hope reached out to you about signing NIL deals when you were swimming?
Yeah, again, I think any sort of natural hair care brand. Yeah. And then I think makeup and just, like, again, when it comes to just swimming, people always ask you the basic questions of, you know, tanning and what do you do with, like, different lifestyle brands. I think I would have just, anything I thought of, anything that I use, I would have thrown myself in the ring. Like, any shampoo, any conditioner, any lotion, cocoa butter would have had my number, you know, like, anything that could have had self-care or healthy, anything, I would have been all about it.
All the things a black girl needs that's swimming in the pool every
basically.
Day.
Basically.
We're almost out of time here, Candace, but I was curious. Last thing I got for you, you got less time than last week. What was your most memorable moment in college?
Wow. You mean for, like, as an athlete or just in general?
Okay. As an athlete.
As an athlete, I would say probably making NCAAs my senior year after a long 4 years. It was just a lot of up and downs, but being able to make it on my own was truly just a rewarding experience. I think that was just, like, a culmination of all the hard work in spite of a lot of situations that really made it enjoyable. But, you know, I've always had really great teammates, winning a lot of conference championship opportunities, and just being with them. I think you just miss the camaraderie, or just having like-minded people all together. Haven't had that in a really long time. So I would say just being able to build those lifelong relationships, you know, with my teammates, it was the most enjoyable for me.
Yeah, good time. Being a college athlete, student athlete, whichever word you want to describe what you were, it's fun, it's enjoyable. Not everybody gets the opportunity to do what you have done or what you did at North Carolina. So I know there are stories for days about those times there in North Carolina. Thank you so much for coming back on part two. So much stuff we could touch on, but I really enjoyed everything you said today, because I do think people can learn from your experience and how things can get better for athletes like yourself. Thanks for coming back on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. And I would really just end with like saying, do your research. Make sure that you get all the things and cards on the table. If you want to be a student athlete, just learn about it and don't just go out here willy-nilly, because it can be the wild, wild west if not done correctly. So yeah, I'm so grateful to have this opportunity. Thank you again, Jay.
Once again, I want to thank Ms. Candace Cooper for coming back on the podcast. It's always fun when Candace and I get to cut up or chop it up, whichever word or phrase you want to utilize to describe what me and Ms. Cooper do when we're on a show together. We have so much fun. And like I said about Ms. Renee Washington, who will be on the show next week, I'll say it about Ms. Candace Cooper, who was on the show this week. This will not be the last time you hear Candace Cooper's voice on the Jay Stevens podcast. Trust me, she is phenomenal at what she does. She has tons of stories about swimming. She's doing her thing right now in sports media. I just think that there will be a time or two we'll need someone, we can find a time to have her back on the podcast. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JayStevens07. You can follow Candace on Twitter at Candace D. Cooper. You can send all of your emails to JayStevensPon@gmail.com. Take a few seconds, if you could, to go to Apple Podcasts, go to Spotify, leave a 5-star review. It's greatly appreciated. It's also a free way to help more people know about the Jay Stevens Podcast. This has been episode 245 of the Jay Stevens Podcast. I will see you next time.